Today's reading is from Romans, the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go to verse 9. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then at verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Thank you, John. Let me just mention a couple of things before we look at that. One is to say thank you very much for everyone who came last night to the Scottish quiz. Special thanks to Linda and Liz for organising it. We had a great time. If you missed it, I'd like I have to come next year, but it was really good, and it was really exciting to see so many people from out with the church. So if you brought someone with you, well done. That was fabulous. A great thing to invite people to. I was talking to Lindsay actually this morning about how invitation is a really deeply theological thing. God invites us. That is the basis of why we're here. So thank you for doing that. That was great. The other thing I wanted to mention is that on Wednesday we had a church members meeting, and amongst other things we looked at our vision for the coming year. Now, a number of people weren't at that because of illness or because of the weather, and we're going to have a summary of what was talked about there in the magazine, which will be coming out next week. That's not out this week, not because of the editor's negligence, but rather us not getting things to her. So that'll be out next week, and watch out for that article about our vision for the coming year. Let's just pray as we come to look at the word. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that it is alive, that it's constantly working powerfully in our lives. And especially we want to thank you for that word that we heard read by John just now. As we come to think about what that means for us, would you help us to understand what you mean by it? Would you help us to apply it into our lives? And we pray that you would work by your Spirit to make it effective and powerful. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be influenced and shaped by the cross. Bear in mind, as we start thinking about this, that nobody escapes being influenced by something. What happens by default, what happens unless we choose to do something different, is that we are influenced by the culture that we live in. So for us, Scottish culture, or maybe British culture, if you want to expand it, or maybe Borders culture, if you want to go the other way. Now, that's nothing new. Remember in the series that we were doing at the end of last year, when we were looking at the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, again and again, we saw that local churches and the believers in them had been influenced and shaped by the culture of the city that they were living in. Last year here, for obvious reasons, there was a lot of talk about what it means to be Scottish, or indeed English, or British, or both, depending on your point of view. And in many ways, awareness of the culture that we live in has increased over recent years. Even simple things like national flags are much more common now in the whole of the UK than when I was growing up. We seem to be catching up with the rest of the world on that. Every other country I've ever been to is terribly patriotic, waves flags all the time, and the British for a long time have been very reserved about that. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, primarily our citizenship is in heaven, according to Paul. We have a new identity, and that with that new identity comes a new citizenship and a new culture. And we should be more shaped by the culture of the cross, a Jesus culture, a kingdom culture, a culture of being God's people, rather than being Scottish or British or European or whatever. So when people look at us, they see something that represents cross culture. We're going to be looking at exactly what that means over the next few weeks. I hope this series is going to be very practical and instructive, as well as something that you can reflect on. I really want some of this to influence the culture of this church, so that when people look at us, they can say, I recognize something of Jesus in them. And the things that we're going to be looking at in this series come from that passage that we heard, read by John a few minutes ago. I'm going to read that again, but this time I'm going to read it from the Message version, because as it so often does, the Message helps us to see things in quite new ways. So have a listen to this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Now, let's face it, those are some pretty basic things in that. I don't think there's anything too complex in what I've just read. Nothing difficult to grasp as a concept. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we do it. Some of them in that list were maybe better at than others. So in this series, we're going to be working through that list. And today, we're going to be looking at inventive hospitality. If I were to ask you to write a list of the qualities you would expect to see in a Christian or in a church, I wonder what you'd come up with. Or maybe if you've read books about famous Christians like Brother Andrew or Oswald Chambers or John Wesley, what are some of the things that would stick in your mind as you've read those books? You might say great faith, or you might say a passion for God, or some of you might talk about signs and wonders, or outstanding acts of courage and boldness, or self-sacrifice and adversity. But here in this list in Romans 12 is be inventive in hospitality. Seriously? Yeah. Hospitality is one of the key markers of a Christian life. Different translations of the Bible use different phrases. Some say practice hospitality. Some say pursue hospitality. Some say seek to show hospitality. They're all active, continuing verbs. It's like saying, live in such a way that you are always ready to be hospitable. Now, that doesn't mean 24 hours a day you've got to have an apple pie in the oven ready to serve. But it does mean that we need to be ready and alert. So what does hospitality actually mean? Well, let's just look first at what it doesn't mean. I wonder if you've seen this. This is one of the most awful shows on Channel 4.
While Joseph finishes his starter, the others have a look round the flat he lives in with his wife.
What do you think of this picture?
Very,
Right Said Fred?
Do you remember Right Said Fred? Dead ringer.
My shirt.
I have to say, his whole flat smacks of somebody who's desperate to be successful and isn't. And I think that's rather sad, actually.
Oh, Dorothy.
Back in the kitchen, and Joseph, is plating up.
Want to make sure they're all exactly the same.
Shame your plates don't match.
And there it is, chicken thyme and Armagnac pate served with ciabatta and chilli jam.
That looks fabulous.
Your butter's just on the side. There's a butter knife there, which is the pearl-handled one. Yes.
Just in case the less cultured didn't know.
If you like butter, put your butter, then your pate.
You never eat butter with pate.
I was very disappointed by the starter. I really was.
It looked like cat food. Tasted like cat food.
You've eaten cat food, then?
Yeah. That is not hospitality. What would possess me to come to dine with you, eat your food, drink your wine, rummage through your drawers, and then absolutely slate you in the back of a taxi going home? Hospitality is not come down, dine with me. Hospitality is not entertainment. Hospitality is not a competition. You're not out to impress. It's not about the best food or the best wine or the best crockery or the best entertainment. Hospitality is about having a readiness to welcome people. Whoever, wherever, whenever, simply to make people feel at home. You'll know what it's like to be around someone who makes you feel like that. This is what practicing hospitality is. Not about amazing culinary expertise. There's nothing wrong with amazing culinary expertise. I am all for great food. But that is not the important thing. I'd rather get turkey dinosaurs and oven chips in a home where I'm made to feel welcome than a fancy five-course meal in a setting that is cold and intimidating. But let's take this even further. the way we show hospitality is as important as that we do it. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter is one of those short letters near the back of your Bible. Just a few back from Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 7. Peter says this, "The end of all things is near." So there's a bit of end times thinking going on here. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all," a bit of a hint here that whatever's coming is really important. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." So it's the end times. Jesus is coming back. He's going to return. So what do we have to do in order to be prepared for that? Know how to make quiche and vol-au-vents. It's be ready. Show hospitality. And not just show hospitality, but do it without grumbling. Now that's the challenge. Peter says, not only do we have to be hospitable, but we have to do it in a certain way. To be honest, two or three of us are going to be struggling with that. Why? Because we just can't help raise our eyebrows in disapproval sometimes. We sigh underneath our breath because being hospitable isn't always convenient, especially if you're into a Western mindset that says, I like to have my own space and my own time, and I like things to be ordered and in my diary. So if you're going to inconvenience me, please let me know in advance so I can plan it. Let's do it, and let's enjoy doing it. Why? Because 1 Peter 4 goes on in verse 10. "Each of you should use whichever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Guess what? Hospitality is a demonstration of God's grace. There is a direct link between God's grace and hospitality. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But first, let's look at another passage. This is from Hebrews, which is just two letters back from 1 Peter. If you turn too many pages, you'll miss it. Hebrews chapter 13 says this, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." So let's get this straight. The Bible says to show hospitality, practice hospitality, and be inventive, be creative about it. Second instruction, do it in a good way. Third instruction, so you're now telling me not only do I have to do it for the people that I like, and not only for the members of my home group, who I have to kind of do it for, but I also have to show hospitality to people I don't even know and could be complete strangers. Yes, absolutely. And that's where we really start to find different cultures colliding with each other. Cross-culture says, practice, pursue hospitality to people you don't know or even choose to know. There is a definite intentionality about this. We have to be intentional because for most of us, this is not our default position. Reaching out to others goes against our preferences. And that's a good thing because it stops us getting wrapped up in our own world. Some people might say, yeah, but Ian, that just isn't my personality. Now, it might not be. But I'm not asking you to be loud and hospitable. I'm not asking you to be funny and hospitable. I'm just asking you to be hospitable. Why? Because that's Bible culture. That's God's culture. We did something at the start of this service this morning that we do every now and then. I asked you to say hello to someone you hadn't met before or someone you hadn't spoken to this morning. We don't do that every time, because I know that some people find that uncomfortable. Maybe nobody here does. But I know of people who have left churches because of that kind of thing. And when we hear of people like that, we say, yeah, they just find that culturally very different, difficult. But that's exactly the point. If we as Christians, or even as a church together, find something culturally difficult to do because that thing is rooted in American culture or African culture or Polish culture or whatever, that's fine. I'm all for trying new things, but it would be wrong to try and force us to become something that we're not. But if we find something culturally difficult to do because it's cross-culture, then maybe we just need to push through it on some of these things until we start getting used to them. Because we're being reserved into the culture around us a little bit too much. And what I want to encourage us to do is push out of our background and history and local culture and into cross-culture. Not to ignore or abandon our local culture, only when that conflicts with cross-culture and kingdom culture. Is that easy? Is that comfortable? No. But we want to be demonstrating something that is a clear instruction in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, that I think we're not being welcoming or hospitable on Sunday mornings. In fact, just the opposite. I think you guys have a reputation for being welcoming and friendly. And I'm really excited by that. This is a church that is known to be welcoming. I want us to see us doing even more of that. I want us all to be deliberate and intentional about our welcome to people here. To start consciously thinking like things like, before I go and get my coffee and sit with my friends at the end of the service, I'm just going to say hello to that couple that I've not seen before. Or I'm going to spend a minute chatting to that quiet young mum who's been a few times, but I don't really know her. And it's maybe just as well we haven't got any visitors this morning, because I think it might be swamped this morning. But I do want visitors here to feel appropriately incredibly welcome. And I want all of us to feel the responsibility to express that welcome. So why should we be hospitable? I mean, apart from the fact that the Bible tells us, which is quite a good reason, but what's the reason behind it? Let's do a bit more digging. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, and you don't have to look this up, you can if you want to, this is in Leviticus chapter 19. This is part of the law that God gave Moses. And God says this, in verse 33, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you, and that's like the immigrant today, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Key phrase there, I am the Lord your God. Now, Leviticus comes on the back of Exodus, which is the story of when the people escaped from Egypt where they'd been slaves. And that in turn comes back on the back of when Joseph, the guy with the multicolored coat, came into Egypt about 400 years earlier, became the prime minister of the country. He was the hero of Egypt, and all his Israelite countrymen were welcomed because of him. And the whole Hebrew community in Egypt blossomed. 400 years on, and the Egyptians start thinking, hey, these Hebrews are taking over the place. There's too many of them. They're too influential. They're too proud. They're taking all our jobs, eating all our food. They're destroying our culture. Incidentally, this all sounds strangely familiar, doesn't it? We don't like all these Hebrews, so we're going to subject them into slavery. So as a result of that, the Israelites cry out to God. God raises up a man called Moses. By God's power, Moses helps them escape from Egypt, leads them out into the desert where he goes up a mountain, hears from God, and God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That phrase, I am the Lord your God, it's the same phrase, and the people would have recognized it. You were once oppressed foreigners living in a foreign land. I then rescued you out of that land. Please don't forget where you've come from. Now treat other people exactly like that. Fast forward into the New Testament, a couple of thousand years later, where Paul writes this to the Ephesians in chapter 2. Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. We were once far away, and now we've been brought near. We were once outside, and now we're inside. We were once outside the family, but now we are in the household of God. Through Christ's death, God has shown the ultimate act of hospitality and has welcomed us home. And so when we do that, when we demonstrate that, there is something of God's grace overflowing from us towards other people. We are mirroring God's values. Grace is the hospitality of God to welcome sinners. And that means you and me. We think of hospitality and being welcoming as being something really basic. And in the sense of how important it is really basic. But that doesn't mean that we all do it or even know how to do it. We've got a great team of stewards who welcome people on Sunday mornings, and thank God for them. But for them and other people who might take on that role, we want to help them do it even better. So we were discussing in the leadership team recently some sort of training event for stewards, and watch this space for news on that. But let me tell you two quick stories that relate to this and the whole idea of welcome. The first is what happened when I went some months ago to an Al-Anon open meeting. Al-Anon, if you don't know, is the group that's linked to Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's designed for the family and friends of alcoholics, people who've been affected by other people drinking. Anyway, they have an open evening every month, and I'd been asked along. And I want to stress that I had a great time there. I had a really warm welcome. But what was interesting was that it made me realize just how intimidating it can be to go into a strange environment. Now, to be honest, I am not what you would call shy and retiring. I am, most of the time at least, reasonably self-confident as an individual. But when I went along to that meeting, all through, I found myself thinking things like, am I supposed to sit somewhere in particular? Am I supposed to help myself to the cakes now, or is that for later? Am I supposed to say something here? Am I even allowed to say something here? Everyone seems to have a book with them. Am I supposed to have brought something? Quite intimidating. And that's into an environment that's actually surprisingly like what we do here on Sundays. For people who are completely unused to this, wow. Second story is what happened when Lindsay and I had a week off some time ago. And we decided to go on the Sunday morning up to Portobello Baptist Church to worship with them. But for some reason, the sat-nav took us to completely the wrong place. And so we ended up arriving in Portobello about 5 minutes after the service had started. Now, despite occasional evidence to the contrary, I hate being late for things. And Lindsay absolutely loathes being late for things. The nearest place we could park the car was a couple of blocks down the road. So we parked and ran up Portobello High Street to the church. They meet in an old cinema. So you go through the front door, and then you then have to go up a couple of flights of stairs to get to the main hall. And so as we arrived outside the door to the hall, we were panting and stressed. And just as we were about to sort of burst in, the steward standing there said, "Hold on. Hold on. It's okay. There's no rush. Doesn't matter that you're late. They've had an opening song and some prayers. They're just about to start the notices. You've not missed anything critical." And he held out a paper bag and said, "Have a sweet. Catch your breath." It was a brilliant welcome. And we were able to just relax and feel comfortable and part of that family as they worship together. Why do we practice hospitality? Because God did. Why do we do it willingly, without muttering and grumbling and judging and raising our eyebrows? Because God did. Why bother? Because we're called to be like him. Remember, People's Baptist Church, where we came from and where we're going. And in the middle, let's do absolutely all we can to make sure that everyone feels that they are welcome in this house of God. One of the top 10 characteristics of a Christian is hospitality. Why? Because it's all about the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, how easily we lose sight of just how welcoming and gracious and hospitable you are. The very fact that we are here, that each one of us is here, despite who we are, despite our background, despite how different we are to you, despite how we fail to meet your standards, and yet you call us in and make us part of your family. And welcome us into your home. Lord God, we pray that we would get better and better and better at that. And that the community around us would see a group who welcomes people, whoever they are, into an environment of love and acceptance. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.